I call the Hamburg City Council meeting for June 14th, 2023.
Judge?
Welcome, everyone. Let me open it up for public comment. Okay, we'll move on then to agenda review. I don't know if there's any additions or deletions. Otherwise, I look for a motion to adopt the agenda.
I make a motion to adopt the agenda for June 14th, 2022.
It's moved and seconded to approve the agenda or adopt the agenda as written. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed? Passes. Look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second it.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed? Passes. Cap 3.
I believe the only thing on the agenda is to approve Stephen Buffington, Captain Long, as the position.
Council, any questions for Cap 3? Otherwise, I look for a motion to approve.
Make motion to approve Steve Buffington as Captain 1 for Hamburg Fire Department.
So moved and seconded to approve Steve Buffington as Captain 1. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilmember Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed? Passes. Keep reports like this, you can be the chief. Any other questions?
No, I don't have any.
No, you're good.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick. Mr. Will.
Thank you, Council. My name is Anthony Will. We're here about the infrastructure changes and moving the existing lanes here from the old water tower structure, which is going to be removed to the new structure. The lease is pretty straightforward. I think we can look at changing the address.
Council, any questions, or was there anything from staff that we needed to address?
I think kind of if the council goes along with it, just a few things, Anthony, if you can just go over like the area or the number of space you need on the tower, you know, like number of customers, coverage area, those type things, maybe for council. And then one other thing we'd have, because we built the new tower, so there's spaces there for satellites. But also when we do that, what we had agreed upon is that we would have, you would have to have your own meter then.
Okay.
So, and there's space out there just to add a meter and all that. So it's all kind of, it's all kind of pre-done and ready for what you, what you're looking to do.
But does there have to be fiber optics on this?
There is, for through Metro.
Yeah, yeah, we currently are the services. We'll have that, obviously.
Anything else?
That's all I had.
Council, any questions?
Don't know enough about it to. No intelligent questions.
Is anything going to change tower to tower? Like, I'm guessing this is a higher tower. I mean, is anything change on your end? It's coverage wise or anything?
So, so the existing tower, I believe the furthest cost of the permit is just under 5 feet. We round that up to 6, roughly 110 square miles of coverage. And then the new tower is going to be, our approximation is probably really with the amount of assuming at the top, about 40 to 60 feet higher, which probably increase our range from, we'll say 6 miles, probably that will create a square area that will be able to cover in that site. Probably about 230 square miles. The site as it is, it's actually pretty problematic. Most of our towers are at 280 feet on cell tower. We get effective square coverage of about 450 square miles. This site, it's not that we don't want to use it, it's we can't because they're not in range. Or, and the closer you get to the tree line, it starts to clip the trees better sooner, right? Because it's, just like the angles, right?
Yeah.
So you end up clipping the trees sooner, which kills more of the signal, which then presses the radio tower even more, right? So the higher you're above just an average tree height, the more likely you can have.
Gotcha.
The existing tower is pretty. Still viable. So a few customers here. Got some really decent options, especially when, well, I'm assuming MetroNet now covers fiber. So you also have media content. So what we do, but basically, the only customers we have in town are the most cost effective products like coax, MediaCom, Internet. They're very, very interesting. So, in the range of 56 stuff. Well, the plan we would offer a new customer would be $35. But there's actually existing customers. So, the whole council knows the Hamburg Tower was actually part of an acquisition. Where they purchased Clone ISP, right? So that tower was part of that original tower. And then as part of that, they had plans in $20 and $25 increments contractually. This was 7 years ago now, 8 years ago now we purchased that. And as part of the purchase, we contractually agreed to maintain those services at those prices for 1 year. We've actually never got rid of those plans. Now we're not upgrading those plans, and if anybody's on it, you might as well be on dial up. They're basically that slow, but we're not just saying we can't have it. And Hamburg has probably 10% of the customers on the calendar actually still on that list. So if it meets your needs, it's good enough for you to
get home. What upgrades? Oh, that might help. So that's the new tower will be beneficial. It'll allow us to use the resource more effectively.
Okay.
Now, when we purchased Clone ISP, we basically ripped and replaced everything there because, long story short, the company that built the Clone ISP network wasn't very good. So we ended up yanking all that and replacing it with that time would have been our third generation of equipment. When we move to the new tower, we're going to put in what I envision putting in is actually a temporary fourth generation setup
because we're testing our fifth generation equipment within the next 60 days, right? So I don't want to put a huge investment, especially since the fourth gen equipment, just two of those antennas can replace the eight that are up there now as far as performance, right? So, and then the fifth generation equipment, we could actually maybe compete against MetroNet on price and speeds, right? So what I envision on doing is putting up a temporary setup that would be two Omni antennas that would effectively replace the eight that are currently up there. And then we would have two feed antennas just in case, like, was it about a year ago, the water tower got hit by lightning and blew out all the electronics there, including every piece of equipment we had on the tower. So it even blew out the fiber optic setup. So with that, you know, we'll put the newer generation equipment up there with the intention of once we've proven the next generation of equipment, it would get, you know, get that done.
Okay.
So that's the intent. Now that next generation would be a full deployment like we currently have. It'd probably be four antennas, distribution antennas, which are called sectors. And then the two feed antennas would probably stay the same.
Okay.
Let's see. So that was one of your questions.
Total of four.
Well, yeah, ultimate in the end. Well, out of the gate there would be four. So two feed antennas and two omnis, right? An omni antenna is a stick, right? Instead of what's up there right now, it's called a sector. It looks like a rectangle, right? A tall rectangle. So we'd start there. I would say, you know, in the least, we should just assume the fifth generation equipment, right? So that we don't have to go through all this again at that point. So yeah, that it would be four antennas to start, but it would be six when we were done.
I mean, I guess I'm just concerned. My only concern would be is I gotta see how many spaces are up there, but just, you know, if Verizon or any of the big dogs ever came knocking, you know, we'd probably want to be looking, you know, because right now we're only, was it $75 a month?
Correct. Yeah.
You know, I want to have that space and availability for, you know, for T-Mobile, Verizon, or somebody bigger would come in that's willing to pay.
Yeah, and that's
$8. I mean, they're not knocking on the door, but
right. And that's a reasonable assumption. I mean, that is a vertical asset that, and it's definitely something that could happen with 5G. So 5G has an exceptionally short range. So your why is to be thinking about that. Now, one of the things is our equipment, relatively speaking, compared to their setups, it's tiny. I'm sure everybody's seen a cell tower. They got huge setups wrapped around them, right? In the end, our setups would be, we'd have one big dish antenna shooting to the west, then maybe the same size, but probably a 2-foot antenna shooting towards Young America. And then the sector antennas themselves are about yay big, roughly 2 feet by 2 feet. And it honestly, most like your existing tower setup as it is actually isn't big enough to accommodate their setups. They would end up having to build out on the actual bowl and build framing out there because their arrays are too big to fit in the ring that's on the top already.
The existing?
Yeah. So
our engineers missed the ball.
Yeah. The tower, I mean, it's a fairly small water tower, relatively speaking, right? You know, it's great for the city of Hamburg, but when you compare it to most water towers, it's fairly small, right? Most cellular arrays, they're looking for at least a 10-foot horizontal, right? Because they're typically going to have more than one antenna pointing one direction, right? And they need a little bit of separation between each of those antennas. And typically they're going to be three or four antennas each, right? So they need about a 10-foot horizontal section. Well, the circumference of your railing there doesn't really accommodate that well. So most likely when they engineered it, they probably engineered it with the assumption of like 3 or 4G equipment. It's a stretch for 4G. 5G is kind of a different beast. It really is. It's very short range. So you end up having to use more antennas in order to try and increase that range as much as possible, which ends up meaning they need more, not vertical real estate, horizontal real estate. But with all that being said, our stuff is so small, I really doubt, you know, they deal with, you know, Verizon deals with working alongside T-Mobile and AT&T and whoever, right? They'll figure out a way to do it. And they're going to pay to have it done. I mean, the city is not going to pay to have that done. You know, even on a cell tower, when they come in and they want to upgrade their setups, I mean, American Tower, who's a huge tower owner, they don't pay a dime. Verizon pays them to do it, right? So I wouldn't be overly concerned about that opportunity being impacted. They'd figure it out. You had one other point, and I'm sorry, I missed it. I remember counting three, but I can't remember what the third number one.
Of customers, like how many are sure. We're currently on.
On Hamburg, off the top of my head, it is technically a trade secret, but less than 50.
Okay.
It's probably in the bottom 20% of our customer base for towers. Again, mostly because of the existing tower, right? I mean, when you start talking about even this would effectively double the square miles that we would cover, it's likely that we would be able to utilize it better.
So then would you, Anthony, be able to provide with the current lease agreement a new appendix, A, the equipment
mm-hmm.
that
for
you
sure.
put on the
sure.
that you put on the new door?
Now would you prefer like the existing appendix A is fairly ubiquitous, meaning it doesn't like identify like a model, right? It says this size antenna. Is that sufficient?
Yeah, similar to like what you have there now. It gives you the type and size and the weight
yep.
and the quantity.
Perfect. Yeah. Something an engineer would need in order to figure out a calculation. Yep. Perfect. Now do you want two of those or do you want the one that would be the end goal?
What's the timeline for end goal?
That here's the problem. I don't even have I have the test equipment in my shop. I haven't even successfully turned it on yet.
All right. Why don't
we just go so to
what the plan is now, and then we can update it.
Okay.
When we get to that point.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. Well, if you want to work with Jeremy and get the contract. In the condition it needs to be in for the new tower?
Sure.
And then you can work with.
And I'm not going to modify the language other than in the rent section, I will strike the part that says the city provides the utility, and I'll put in that the lease or does, leasee, I'm leasing, would pay for their own electricity and strike the address. I'll need to get the new address from you. Yeah, that way, God forbid, we pay more lawyers, more stuff, right?
Right. Yeah, and you get that done, and then when we make the move, we'll obviously be in communication with you mm-hmm. so we can coordinate. You
know? Yeah, now to that point, that's a good point. So all the existing customers' equipment, we actually have to go to every single customer's house and re-aim it, right? We're hoping maybe we might get away with 10-20% that we won't have to touch, but unless I'm going to guess there's 7 customers in town or really close to town, that are like Northwest right? So they might still be in line. We won't have to touch those, but pretty much everybody else we're probably going to have to touch. So it will take us several months to get that done. Timeline, my understanding is the timeline is hoping like the end of August kind of area, beginning of August.
Yeah, September. Engineers for our next meeting will have a proposal put together.
Sure. Okay.
With the timeline.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'd probably be the best way then is for when we have our next meeting to have this button up, we can approve it. Sure. And then you can start the transition.
Right. To be honest with you, I'd like to move faster than that if even possible. Would it be possible if, from what we've discussed, change address, change the antennas, change the electrical, that the council might provide you with the authority to sign the lease, assuming there's no other changes?
Staff okay with that?
Yeah, I think as long as, you know, council's okay with it, I'd also just like to maybe run it by the engineers.
Space. Yeah, for sure.
Space of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Well, but with that kind of a consideration, then it would probably be more appropriate to just deal with it at the next meeting.
Okay, so we'll go that route then. We'll deal with it at the next meeting if you can work with Jeremy. The sooner you get the information to him, sooner you can get the engineers to figure out.
He'll have space. It before the end of the week.
Perfect. Council, any additional questions for Mr. Will or any questions for us? Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to bring up one more point. So I want to be a good partner with the city. You guys should be asking me for a rent increase. You really should be.
Okay, in my mind.
Council, do we want to require that? Right now it's $75 a month.
Well, as long as you're being honest, what's fair?
I would have no reservations whatsoever doubling that. You know, we've probably been able to add enough customers since the initiation of this lease 8 years ago or so to easily cover that cost. I can tell you right now, it cost me $34.50 to have a customer. Anything over that I make, that's what pays for rent for this kind of stuff, right? So there's enough there, and we want to work with the cities we're partnered with. It's not, you know, this isn't an antagonistic relationship. This is a partnership. We're servicing the community, meeting the community's needs. So, and inflation's a thing right now. It ain't going to get better. So, don't tell my partner I brought this up. He's not going to look at the meeting, but really $150 a month seems fair to me.
Council, any objection?
Nope. Appreciate the honesty.
Yeah,
thank you. I mean, we do appreciate that. So yeah, why don't we add that in and then we should be good to go.
Okay. I'll have that to you by the end of the week, Jeremy.
All right.
Sounds you good. Guys have a good
thank
evening.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on then to old city business, Hamburg zoning code.
Just anybody's given any more thought to the combination of parcels that are divided by Alien Street, which we can tie this in a little bit and talk about it, but the vacant lot on Brad Street too. There's someone, they haven't approached me yet, but I've been hearing through their rumor mill, they'd be interested in purchasing that, but I don't know exactly what they want to purchase it for. That's why I got it on the agenda for tonight, is to look at that property, if we want to keep it or if we'd even consider selling that to someone. And what it is the Montero show.
Can we take our community garden?
Yeah, we can.
So it's this property here. It's been some interest.
just from this property owner here and purchasing it. But, you know, the only way anyone else can do something with that, how we have currently, is they'd have to put a, you know, they wouldn't be able to just build a shed or a garage, or they'd need to have a main principal structure on the property.
Say that again. Say that last bit again.
So they'd basically have to have a home on the property. They can't just build a shed or just a garage, or, you know, use it as storing junk vehicles or, you know, whatever it may be. But now if we look at allowing parcels in town to be combined that are split by a road or alley, you know, they could combine the parcels, then they'd be able to do something like that. Like add a, just a garage or a, you know, like I said, I put a.
Yeah, and I saw what our, what was what written.
What planner said, so it's kind of, you know, it's.
I guess part of my thought is in regards to like the alleyways, they're not high traffic areas. They're not large.
Right.
They're not paved, and that doing those type of combinations, I think, would not be a bad way to go in our planning process. But that one there, because that's where our future development potentially is going to go, that might be a stretch.
Street seems to be a bit of a...
Yeah.
I think I agree.
What would be the benefit of purchasing?
Just the ability to put different types of buildings.
The use of the property, really, yep. You know. I don't know if they have any intentions to do something there or if they're just looking to buy. You know, I mean, typically, though, if you're looking to buy something, you have an intention.
Well, I wonder if they're just worried if they're, somebody else is going to buy and put townhomes or something and they have neighbors, you know.
It's too small.
But they're just, it's too small with for townhomes. And then the other problem you run into is you have that Excel easement that runs right through there. So it just, I don't think anything, I don't even know if you could build anything on there, to be honest.
Right. So there's, excuse my criticism, there's personal water.
Yeah.
You couldn't build a foundation there at all.
Yeah.
So it's,
it's kind of parkland or, archery range, like Tim talked about earlier, or something of that nature, you know. So kind of a couple things there is the combining of parcels. We want to address that because there's other various areas in town where we have this. We're also going to run into it when they sell that tax forfeited lot too. So all depending on who purchases that property. Because here again, you got an easement. I mean, it's not much, as you can see. Sorry, I'll zoom in so you can see a little better. But you can see there's kind of a easement through here. So if this property owner was to buy it, they wouldn't be able to do anything unless we change ordinance to allow it to combine the parcels. You know, now if this person or this person buys it, they can combine it because it's adjacent to the property lines. So it's something we could look at, like Chris said, it's if we are open to it, we could look at like easements and maybe alleyways where we would allow the combination of parcels, but not roadways or.
How many alleyways even in town are, or they would combine besides like that? But
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's about six. How many scenarios do we have?
So we got that scenario. We got Minahan's over here. Same thing. You have, a variance here. This one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have 3-4 areas in town where you have that, where you run into that issue.
You know, and the thing is it, down the road, it may be someone else's headache or pain in the butt. You know what I mean? Because they're like, oh, I want to tear that down. I want to put up a house or whatever, kind of like our plan I talked, where they may change things down the road. But yeah, now it's just sitting there. We're not, you know, you put a garage or something else on that, that adds to the deck. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that pro, you know, versus there are cons.
Like the first one you brought up, if you can't do anything with that, you can't put any kind of a foundation, just consider empty. We have to have advantages instead of potentially interested home buyer or homeowner buys that and puts up a shed.
You know, and I guess the other con I look at is moving forward. So say you have a development and then someone's, you know, people are going to start buying two lots. You know, and then they're going to, on one lot that's actually buildable, they're going to put just a garage on it, which just kind of takes away. You know, there's all those pros and cons that you get into. You got to weigh when you do this. And I don't know if there's somehow we can word it that if it's acceptable, if it's a non-buildable lot, that they could do a shed or something, you know, that's something I thought of. If it's a buildable lot, then a shed principal structure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just my my thought. Because I don't want to move into a neighborhood where it's house, big garage, house. You know what I mean? Where just.
But at the same time, that lot right there, we passed that they could build a house there at one time.
Right.
Crammed. But it would have been crammed in there. But
right. And now that's long, that's void. Because it's new owners, so we'd have to go through that process again if we were going to do that. Mm-hmm. No, just got to get setbacks.
Yeah, so unless council has any other thoughts on the zoning aspect of things, I think the direction to give staff is to try to put something together for non-conforming lots and lots that are adjacent to right-of-ways and alleyways. I would like to stay away from the combining of ones or that span over hard surface, like streets.
And then maybe at easements and there to be exposed.
Yeah.
I can do that. I will do that.
Okay. Council, anything else? Okay. We'll move on then to new city business. I don't know if he has any questions in regards to the approval of liquor licenses. I know the Hamburg Lions Club will not be applying at this point in time for the 3-2 malt liquor. They just have decided they don't have a need for it right now. And then also with the changes that are taking place with the new law that might change some licensings as well. But I don't know if staff had anything else to input. Otherwise, we just need motions to approve, right?
Yeah, the park side and then the baseball club still.
For now. Yeah. Look for a motion to approve the park tavern license and the Hamburg Baseball Club 3-2 license.
Make a motion to approve the liquor license for Parkside Tavern and the Hamburg Baseball Club.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the Parkside Tavern license and the Hamburg Baseball 3-2 liquor license. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Buxton, aye.
Councilman Barber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed? Passes. Next item up is a set of public hearing for July 12th. Actually,
so with that, what we're looking with some scheduling conflicts is moving the July 12th meeting to the 26th.
Does anybody have any issue with holding our meeting on the second Thursday versus the first Thursday?
Tuesday.
Or Tuesday, thank you. I knew what I meant up here, but just
say that. I don't think it'll make any trouble.
So, if there's no objection to that, then I would look for a motion to have a public hearing on July 26, 2022 to update liquor license as well as hold a regular meeting for on July 26.
I make a motion to have a public hearing for the updated liquor license ordinance on July 26th and also have a regular meeting on 26th.
Councilman Poplar, second.
It's moved and seconded to hold a public hearing on July 26th for the updated liquor license ordinance as well as hold a regular meeting. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Buxton, aye.
Councilman Barber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed? passes.
7 o'clock.
Yeah, Centerton. Wastewater Operations and Technical Assistance Consulting Service Agreement. I don't know, hopefully everybody had a chance to look through it. I didn't know if there's anything like staff wanted to highlight or council any questions.
Slight increase, which kind of seems to be the norm with inflation and everything. So slight increase from 50 to 55.
Council any questions? So as I look for a motion to approve the consulting service agreement with Kurt Reitz.
Councilman Tracy, make a motion to approve the consulting service agreement with Kurt Reitz.
Councilman Barber, second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the consulting service agreement with Kurt Reitz. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Buckstein, aye.
Councilman Barber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. Seal coating bids for Jacob Street and Donald Avenue.
Yeah, so received two bids, one from Pearson Brothers. So basically what we'd be looking to do about 6,768 square yards, which we'll be doing Jacob Street from the intersection here of Broadway, Tunnel 50 here. To the south, and then Donald Avenue is what we have scheduled for this year. So I received a bid from Pearson's. Their estimated bid came in at $18,205.92. And then also received a bid from Allied. And Allied Black Company, Blacktop Company came in at $24,635.52.
Council, any questions? Otherwise, I look for a motion to approve one of these bids.
Councilman Buckstein, I make a motion to approve Pearson Brothers for $18,205.82.
Councilman Poplar, second.
It's moved and seconded to award the seal coat to Pearson Brothers for $18,205.92. Any further discussion? All in favor.
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Buckstein, aye.
Councilman Barber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Passes. So if your staff wants to let them know.
Yep. Just to give you a heads up, that may be as soon as next week.
Nice.
So, because we're probably able to coordinate it with local cities in the area. So,
excellent. Next item on the agenda is the 2022 Steep Street Improvement Project Update.
All right, so just give you a quick update. We had the pre-con meeting, so kind of the kickoff meeting for the project. They're probably looking probably in 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks to start, and then take 2 to 3 weeks to complete. They're thinking more closer to about 2 weeks to complete.
Perfect. Council, any questions? I'm sure there'll be more information to come. So we'll move on then. If everybody had a chance to see the Bobcat Toolcat repair estimate from Milano. I don't know if anybody had any questions in regards to that.
So Brandon, maybe you want to come up and talk about that. Maybe explain exactly what all the repairs are.
So I don't know if it makes sense, the estimates, but so what I would like to do is from talking to the mechanic there, low side would be around $5,000 to fix it. What's going on is the timing cover is leaking oil, but you have to pull the cab off to do anything on that motor. And so pretty much all the labor is pulling the cab off, pulling the engine out to work on it. And what I suggested is we trade it in for a side-by-side because in my eyes, I can do everything that the Toolcat can do with the Bobcat. I would rather have a side-by-side, which is very lower expense to maintain, because like if anything goes wrong with the Toolcat again, it's going to be probably around the same amount, like 5 to 3, maybe even more. Just the maintenance is more expensive. And with the side-by-side, and it's not like a a toy side by side. It's a, it only goes 30 miles an hour. It's restricted. It's a bobcat side by side. I can drive it on the park fields. The tool cat, it leaves ruts, which obviously make it harder to mow. I don't know if anybody's walked out there lately, but it's pretty rough. But I could spray with it instead of spraying, you know, spray with a lawnmower. I don't know if anybody has any questions for me about maybe possibly trading it. And so, and there's also a broom attachment on there too, which we could, so we could trade in the tool cat, get a side-by-side with fully cab heat, and we could get a broom attachment for cleaning the streets and snow removal for a bobcat, and we'd be pretty much even. Does that make sense? You looked at me with a puzzled face.
Council, any questions on that?
I didn't know that's what I was looking. I was trying to look at the quotes earlier. I didn't realize that's what I was looking at. I guess this is all kind of new to me here. Well, what attachments do we have for the tool cat?
We only have a bucket.
That's it.
And you can get different attachments for that.
So, like the broom attachment, that's $6,500. And like what I'm trying to do is, I'm trying to make me work more efficiently, saving time and money. And like a broom attachment, like we'd have to find a budget for 2 years to get it. And if we were to trade in Toolcat for a side-by-side, we could get a broom attachment. And what I use the Toolcat for is what I would use a side-by-side for. We use it to pick up sticks, we use it to go, we whip it down at the park or collect garbage. All we really use the Toolcat for is the bed that it has in the back, the dumping capability. And you're talking about a 1,500-pound machine, which is a side-by-side, compared to like a 6,000-pound machine, which is a Toolcat, which is a big weight difference there too.
We just buy that Toolcat last year?
We did.
We did, and I guess that's where I'm just a little... I'm confused, I think, like with the rest of the council, because we fought hard to get that tool cat. And we were told by the previous public works that that was more efficient. And now I'm getting the other side. So that's where I'm, I don't know, I'm torn, to be honest.
And honestly,
I'm with you on that.
This is just an option. I don't care which way we go. I'm just... In my eyes, we could save money doing this, because pretty much what I got told by the mechanic at Planners is if you don't use it pretty much every day, you're going to run into the same oil leak issues and stuff like that, because they're not going to be lubricated and stuff like that, is what he said. And I don't know if that's true. That's what he told me.
Is Lionel's the only place that does this kind of work for us, or would be able to do this?
Well, the next closest place where we would have to pay about $600 to have them come pick it up.
Just to look at it?
Yeah. That would have been just the delivery, like them coming to get it, to bring it to their shop to look at it.
Oops.
I see with the tool cat, it's just we bought it so you could use the attachments, and I don't know, just it's hard because at first we had looked at a side by side. That's what we originally had talked about. Mm-hmm. And then Greg said we'd do the tool cat because you can do so much more with the tool cat. That's what he had sold me on, being able to do more, use the attachments, and you know. And now Brandon's saying he'd be more efficient with the side-by-side.
The other thing is, too, is doing rounds in the side-by-side would be a lot better than, because eventually the Ford Ranger, I don't know this obviously, but Ford Ranger, the transmission has been slowly starting to slip because all we do is go from there to there to there to there. We never, you know, we go to Hastings once in a while, but this has never taken out of town. So, like, driving the side-by-side to through the rounds would be a lot better than wear and tear on a vehicle. And the maintenance to do an oil change on a Toadcat, it's roughly $100 Oil change on side by sides, like $25 I mean, I'm just weighing the options of maintenance wise. I mean,
is there any of that maintenance you can do?
Yeah, I can change the oil. The engine on a side by side is really easy to work on. The engine on a Toadcat, I don't know if you guys know, but it's literally underneath the cab. There's a little door about this big that you can get to, and it's just it's kind of cool if we didn't have a Bobcat in my hands, but I just don't use it. The one time I used it was to go pick up a brush in the park and parked it and at the door exit.
Any council members ever operated Bobcat?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know enough about either one of them, but I know Greg knew what he was talking about. You know that.
I think it's also be a difference in a person and their, what they prefer, what works for them.
To be totally honest, I think a lot of it had to do with Greg being a lot bigger person too, like tall wise, because getting in and out of a Bobcat. When you're taller, you hit your head a lot. I even hit my head sometimes now, but and if you're in and out constantly, the Toadcat's easier to get in and out of, obviously. But I feel more comfortable operating a skid steer than a Toadcat. The whole quad steer thing is really weird. And to be honest, if you guys have ever drove a Toadcat, it's all hydrostatic. Driven, so if you push the gas pedal, you let off, and if you let off too fast, that thing will come to a screeching halt, like head hit dash, like halt.
Yeah, I apologize. I haven't been at a Bobcat since I was maybe 18. Never operated a Toadcat, so I don't have much input. I'm just going off what Brandon's saying and what Greg said, so that's why I get torn, because we just got it, and then we get someone new, and they're like, no, this would be more efficient. So I'm like, which one is it?
Well, what do we pay for the Toadcat here?
We paid $30,000.
$35,000, I think.
It was $30,500, I think it was. And they're giving us like 28 with the net. So the 28 is with them fixing the issue, not charging us for it. So we're actually selling it to them for more than we bought it.
What was the side by side cost?
21, 22.
That's 21, I think. Or 20. With our discount, we get like a 20% discount through the Bobcat program for new spells. So that's like 21 in the. The broom attachment would be for the skid steer, which would help in a lot of time to clean out, you know, like storm drains on the sides of the streets and stuff like that.
Plus, I'm just a little miffed that we just bought it. We have a $5,000 expense. I mean, when did this start leaking?
I went to the shop, and there's two spots that there's the same oil pattern, so it could have started before I took it out and I didn't notice it, but.
Council, any additional thoughts?
Oh, I totally get it.
What year is that?
2007.
And the side by side would be 2022.
I can't remember what he put on it. And the side-by-side is made by Polaris, just so everybody's aware. It's a Polaris 1000. It's detuned with a high and low range. And I think the actual top speed is 35 miles an hour. They pretty much took the Polaris 1000 and put their own tune in it, so it's made for working and not made for, like, you know, playing or whatever.
Yeah,
I think
we have the same machine. Or got the same machine.
Is it just an issue with learning how to use the toolcat?
No, it's, to be honest, is I don't use it, and I don't want to see it sit there.
But is that because you don't know how to use it?
No, I know how to use it. It's just, it's different steering-wise when you use a quadro steer, but, I mean, I've been a skid loader since I was, probably since I could walk, and I'm more comfortable on a skid loader, and I would like more attachments for the skid loader. To be honest, if we want to get rid of the toolcat and buy all attachments for the skid loader, I'd be happy with that too. Because we could buy a grapple bucket, a broom. I mean, I just feel like there's, I feel like there's more value and it'd save more money to not have a toolcat. Because I mean, I drove it once and it broke, or leaked oil. We're looking at, they said low side 5,000, high side 8,000. They don't know yet. That's a lot of money to be sticking into a machine. It's from 2006. In my opinion, for 2006.
Did Lano verify where the feet was?
Yeah, it's the timing cover. The
So the estimate they gave us is $5,365, but we could be looking at $8,000.
So he said that's probably $5,000 is probably like mid. He said high is probably 7-8. Because they're talking like 35 plus hours of labor.
I think they want a more definitive estimate on the repair.
Yeah, that's they write 5365 on here. That's what I want to hold to.
Yeah.
Well, the guy that I talked to wasn't like I wanted a typed out estimate. The guy I got the estimate for side by side, he was one of the owners.
I'd say go back and get more definitive information on this oil lease as far as the cost is going to go. And then, Jeremy, if you would just reach out and see who uses toolcats versus side by sides.
Well, I know. For instance, Norwood, they have four side-by-sides that do not have a toolcat.
They do or do not have to?
They do not. That's what Paul said from the wastewater toolcat. I've seen their side-by-side, they have Kubota side-by-sides. Another thing is, I don't know if Jeremy wants to call them tomorrow, like tomorrow, but they wanted to answer if they were fixing it. Or if we were trading it, they wanted that actually yesterday because they're pretty packed and they're locked. I don't know.
If you don't really use it all that much, it's not going to go anywhere.
I'm saying sure. It's at their location. They want to know what they're doing.
I don't know if we have enough information to make a decision one way or the other on it.
Okay.
Council, any other questions? Okay, we'll move on then to the public nuisance violations. Thanks, Brandon.
All right, well, start with the Chadwick property. But just some of the things are is, you know, I've talked to David before, just to get it neat and tidy, and then kind of clear up maybe some of these boards. The other thing is just, I mean, to me, that looks like a junk vehicle back there. Back here. And then there's stuff piled into it. I don't know if it's being used or not. David can maybe elaborate a little bit on that. But just kind of that dirt pile in the weeds, I guess. Just kind of shape it up, tidy it up, I think. So I don't know if council has anything, or David, do you want to say anything?
Also, any questions?
I personally don't have a problem with Bronco there. Me, it don't look that bad.
It is licensed. You can see the license.
Something else?
I think we just could get it, you know, lined up and organized. You know, like this trailer here, one direction and another direction. I don't know, maybe I'm just being. But, you know, like the boat, just get it tidied up, I think, would help. And to get rid of this pile of weeds.
I would say just a pile of weeds in the boards, just on my end.
Mm-hmm. Is something feasible, Dave?
I was waiting for it to dry out back there. Every time we'll have to do it, trying to get her to move around back there without tracking half of it back out of the driveway. It's next to the house.
Okay.
So, and the Woodstock this weekend, and then take probably half that pile of wood.
Okay.
Does the Bronco have a back door?
What's that?
Does the Bronco have a back door?
That was the hazard of being a Bronco. It rusted and fizzled, fell off. So it's. I need to just physically weld it in place.
Okay. Well, let's see what it looks like next week, and we can move forward. I understand the dirt issue. I think that's a good idea. They want to bring extra dirt onto the concrete and stuff like that. But yeah, as soon as it does get dried out, it'd be good if you could get rid of that.
Go ahead and I'll line up those trailers for you.
What's it?
I'll line up the trailers for you.
That'd be awesome.
Unless council has anything else, I don't think there's anything further we need to deal as far as the Chadwick property. So move on.
Okay, here's Brian Hermans. I mean, I get he runs a business. So my only real biggest concern is some of this stuff's been sitting there for a while.
He had a fence that used to be in between there.
But that's ever changing.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Like you said, it's kind of ever changing. It's like none of it's really sitting there all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's always. Sometimes there's like nothing there, so
that look right for him or for that picture.
Yeah.
Very possible.
Just kind of earned it.
Like you said, he's running business, so
yeah. It's not too bad.
No.
That actually looks quite tidy in comparison to sometimes. Yeah. But
right. Yeah. Like here I think it kind of looks like the door maybe broke down, but I think the biggest thing, this has been sitting here for months. If they could dispose of that stuff, I think that it, get rid of these old tires, you know, old bikes, old tires.
Is there any communication back from them in regards to when they plan to move in?
Nope.
And we've asked that direct question.
We sent them a letter. When was it? Let's see. 512.
Council thoughts on that property?
Send them a letter on the truck and the garbage in it.
Yeah, that's a lot of junk, it looks like.
Right.
Tell them they got till next meeting. So they actually even get a couple
of weeks. Yeah, give them time.
At the later meeting, but otherwise it'll be declared or it'll be sent to prosecution.
Yeah.
That's typically what we've done. Try to send a friendly.
Yeah.
Then we do this. Give them another 30 days. If they don't, then it goes to prosecution.
Let's follow that.
Okay. This is house there too. I think just maybe a little tidying up. My thing is always the tire. You know, I get you got your bikes and your whatever. Just get rid of the tires. To me, it's the biggest thing. It's a lot better than it used to be, too.
Council, any additional thoughts? Otherwise, just send them another letter just so you have them by the next council meeting to remove this.
Yeah, we'll print out, we'll send pictures and we'll
circle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tollefson's. So.
How long did that trailer sit in the street for half kitty cocked?
So his property's kind of a bit of a mess.
So he called.
That fence is a mess.
He called yesterday, said he hasn't been around for 2 weeks. He has no water and no electricity. He hasn't been there for 2 weeks. He plans on having his home up for sale by the end of this month, and he will be fixing that fence, cleaning up the yard, and he thinks he already has a buyer for it. He's going to be coming into town tomorrow.
He's got that going on, and I say, you know, give him to the next council.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, sounds like he's going to do something. So.
Yeah. This is Gregonis' house. I mean, I think it's a lot better.
He was out there working on it today when I came up to
the only thing would be is if he could finish the garage. He's the permit's expired twice. So I think we could send him on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't deal with it because it's necessary. The first picture you showed where the PVC pipes are actually going and the table's yard, but I don't show it. I see it from the pushing. Right there, I see the PVC pipes are actually going across the that bushes right there, so you can see it now.
Dispose of them. I think just get that. Biggest thing is the appearance of the garage.
Yeah, I was.
So I think the biggest thing is the garage in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's, I know there's someone else in town that can afford us to get done, and he wasn't happy about it. But
exactly. Yeah. So there's, I think we got to. We got to follow up on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And then Graham's, Paul Graham's, which number
was that
stuff here. This
picture?
What's that?
Was that today's picture?
Yeah.
Oh, because I thought he moved a lot of that. But.
Oh, that's just today. I mean, really, this car is just trash full of stuff. It's not operational. Needs to go. I mean, all this stuff is just
sitting there.
It's been there for a long time.
The plow is probably the only thing that's worth anything there.
Mm-hmm.
Comments, any thoughts?
Send him a letter.
Okay. Follow up with him. And then we have Peterson's and Wilson's here. They've kind of tidied up a little bit, but my biggest concern for them is it looks like that treehouse. That they had probably when we had that storm blew down. So I think they need to address that. I mean, you know, I mean, the whole point of this is if
if people are selling their house, it, you know, if I come into town and look at a house and I'm like, boy, what's that next door? Mm-hmm. Next town. And sound like a broken record, but it's just something I think the vast majority of people here in town take pride in, is keeping their properties up and keeping them neat. And it's just, it's, maybe it's just my pet peeve, I don't know, but I happen to think it's councils too, and, you know, 90% of town. Hamburg's always had that reputation as a nice, clean town. You know, we just want to keep it that way. It's not that we're trying to pick on anybody, we just want to keep it that way. We want to keep values up. So I think with them, it's just addressing that treehouse.
See if you can get an idea of what their plan is.
The Minahans is kind of cleaned up, and he has talked to me, and he kind of has a plan. He wants to, and we're looking into, I'm working with our planner right now. Look, he's looking at his old garage, tearing that down and building another garage. So that way he can store his Winnebago or his Four Winds vehicle. But, you know, the other, in this, he said when he got the garage, then he'd move that over to his other property too. Because right now, there again is that issue of separated lots by two different lots, parcel numbers separated by an alleyway.
Council, any additional thoughts?
No. Anything else?
That's it. So we'll follow up and report it at the next meeting.
Move on then to National Night Out. So if everybody has already circled that on the calendar, it's August 2nd. We'll probably do what we've been doing for years at the park, have some food, so everybody plan on being down there to mill around, help serve some food, and I think Jeremy and staff already pretty much have what we're going to do, keep taking care of.
Yep.
Park rentals.
So one of the things that was brought to my attention was, you know, typically you have sunrise to sunset for park rentals. I think on the lease agreement, we have 10 o'clock, but people are typically there till midnight, 12:31. So it was kind of brought to my attention. Some people said, hey, when they got to be out of the park, people are still down in the park, you know, at midnight. It's like, well, we're going to work to see what we want to do. Per our lease agreement, we say 10. So I'm going to bring it forward to council to see, you know, it's maybe 5-6 times a year that we have a rental down there. So I haven't had much of an issue pass-wise, but it's just something we want to look at, allowing, you know, until 12. Or I know some have had bans, but I've never heard any real major complaints or anything.
Or are you separating the park from the limestone road? There's like the park, the stream centers that there's a sign that says from sunset to sunrise. The other part is the direction. Separate those and have the rentals are in there and the park sunset.
Well, all they, if they go over onto the swing set and stuff, it's the adults. It's not children at that late at night, and that park is for children. And so parks, and other cities' parks close at 10 p.m. For the park, for the playground. But when you're renting the pavilion, I think that should go longer.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I personally don't see an issue with midnight.
No.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We haven't had, like, recurring issues with, like, all these right. complaints. I mean, if it's 5-6 times a year, it's
the only problem I had is last
fall was
the playground park area after
the original. That could happen any time. Yeah. During the week or.
You know, and who's going to police it? That's exactly the problem you run into.
You can send Tim up there to shut him down.
I am on that at a time.
Get your security outfit and maybe can of mace if you run into a difficult one, zip tie.
So well, my thought was is most, you know, it's mainly grad parties. Yeah, they're down there. It usually goes to about around midnight. So I think it'd be acceptable to say they have to be out of there, but, you know, be done by midnight versus 10. They, I don't
tell them they rented it. It's not an issue. It's not an issue. Don't make it an issue.
Yeah, but we got to cover our butt.
I don't hear it. I'm right next to it.
Right. Yeah. But we still, we have to do our due diligence.
So that's what I'm trying to do. Written up as 10.
10,
right now.
Yeah.
So I think we change it to 12. Change it to 12.
That's
be done with it.
Okay.
Next item, we already talked about the vacant lot on Broad Street, so we can wait in case there's anything else that comes down the pipeline on that.
Yeah, so we'll kind of wait until someone approaches.
Yep.
And then I'll bring it forward to council.
Well, did you ever, well, like Archery Ranch, did we ever think about anything for that? Or?
Well, and that's we put ship grant on here. Is it that if we want to pursue that or something else?
Because, I mean, if we can use it, we should. And we can't use it, there's no reason to have it.
Yeah, right. I just wonder what that looks like, you know, even if you, yeah, you're, it's towards the end of town right now, but theoretically, if that does become an issue.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, like, if there's no fence or boundary and there's kids down there.
I mean, if we wanted to do an archery range, it might be better to do it in the park over by, like, the volleyball pit or somewhere that way, out in that neck of the woods, because then we could fence it off.
And that's what I've always thought, kind of looking up.
And then if they miss, it goes out in the cornfield.
Right.
We'd almost have to have some kind of, but I don't know. I know when that came up before, we talked about it. That must be the funds that you have under that.
Yeah.
Chip.
The ship.
Yeah. Statewide health improvement is what that is. Is it's basically you get monies for active, getting people active.
If you're interested in archery, I helped those learn in Yorkville with Schaefer Archery at Yorkville.
Yep.
And that's it. I used to actually work for him. If you guys are interested in that, I can offer him and come over and get us in touch with me for a life insurance what path to do it. And I know the White Yorkville backed up to a cornfield, and the owner was not saying, we're going to work with that.
I always wonder, but you know, the 4-foot fence keeps little kids out, but it doesn't do much for
for blocking the arrow.
Yeah, blocking arrow.
Do they do netting?
Because Blanco, same thing.
The netting wouldn't do much anyway.
Like,
they
feel they have
when
they
didn't you, Jeremy? Didn't you say you talked to insurance once about it, or?
I did.
What did he have to say about it?
You would have to carry extra insurance. You know, it's just your general insurance coverage. Won't cover it. Sorry. Usually don't run this on my battery.
Brandon, why don't you get a hold of the person in that and see if they can't take a look at the park and see if there is a viable spot out there in that and see if we can shoehorn it in there. Cause I think if we do something like that, that at least if an errand arrow would go into a cornfield, that's better than going into a potential residential area if we end up expanding down below.
There's development back there. Yeah, we wouldn't want that there, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see it often. Yeah, you see it often enough where there must not be too many springs.
Yeah.
And if we would run into cost, if it wouldn't, I wonder if maybe the Amber Mountain Fish Club would be willing to help out with something like that. Yeah. So it's kind of.
What do we want that locked out? Is it?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you get your group there, have them come out, take a look, double check with insurance and see where it is, and then
I'm just renewing that now, so it'd be a good time to look at that. And then if council has any other ideas, just let me know. You know that.
Right. that does have the netting. Like in Bloomington, they've got.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, we'll move on then to ARPA funds.
So basically, with the ARPA funds, we received about $56,500 for ARPA funds. So basically, what we had talked about is we were going to use the funds to help recover costs. But with that, there's a stipulation in there, like I have to do reporting each year, and we have through till 2024, basically use them funds. And they say what you can do is pick a project. So it's kind of like replacing funds with a project. So we just have to report on there that that's what we're doing. That one, we're, it's kind of confusing because one, we're saying lost revenues, right? But yet we have to state a project that we did, you know, kind of with those funds. So one thing I was looking at is we got 56,500. We have to align a project with those monies. So something to think about whether we, I mean, we could use the streets. That's an eligible project. So we could do streets or the riprap project. Or if there's anything else council can think of. I mean, we got time, but it's just, I myself would prefer that we use it for something and get that wrapped up and out of the way. And, you know, behind us with those monies and less reporting too. But I mean, the two I can think of is streets, you know, that we're going to do and we're going to continue to riprap. You know, I would use it as projects that we want to do versus just doing, you know, oh, we're going to build a new arts museum or something crazy. I mean, you know,
right.
Are you talking like this year? Is there a street project that we get? Well, we could just label that we use this year's street project, or what we maybe want to do is, because we're meeting Thursday to look at a bunch of things with our engineers and do some walkthroughs for the tower, demo of the water tower, the riprap, and a few other things in various things in town. But we just got to kind of pick one thing. And I just like to pick one project that's over the 56.5.
Yep.
So boom, I report that project, I'm done.
Yep.
And that's what most cities are doing. Okay. That's what I'm saying, like the street, you know, because that's, you know, $100,000. Boom, yep. That's it's done.
Well, maybe you'll probably have a better idea after Thursday.
Yeah. But I just want to put it on the radar. So,
okay.
Or if there's anything else council's thinking of that they like to use those replacement monies for.
Okay. So council, if anybody has any ideas, let Jeremy know or staff know, and we can move on from there. Next item of new business, part-time help/overtime for public works.
All right, so what we're running into is I've ran the ads for a few more weeks, no more applications. We've basically gotten a couple applications, very slim pickings. I don't know what to do for part-time help.
Is this like the lawn mowing?
Is that still at 12-15 or?
Oh, we said 12-15 was the range.
I mean, I think it should be 15 because you can work anywhere for that.
McDonald's is a big sign up.
That's right. I think it should be advertised for at least 15.
And I've heard other areas have done up to 17.
And I had somebody interested that they could be here today. And then I think the answer was if there's baseball games. I mean, is there a known schedule for when there's games down there?
Yeah, I have the games, but I don't know if I have the practices on there.
I mean, it's an option, I guess. I mean, that was the only. Because,
how many hours are you going on?
This year's been crazy. The grand set's been crazy with the grand split. I'm between 26 to 30 hours probably 3 weeks of work that I got trained, which is I have to get up. So I think it's Kurt 2 times a week, which is 2 hours. Pretty much what I need to know is if you don't hire someone for part of that help is how much can I be allotted to get stuff done, or what, how do I, you know,
That's just my thing. It's 32 hours taken away from him. I mean, we're paying him more than that, so $15 an hour would be, I don't know, I think we should raise it at least. And obviously, we're getting no applications, so.
Do you have people in that have applied or some?
Yeah, we've had a few applications, that's it.
Yeah, we don't have enough information tonight to make a decision.
I'm just trying to figure out what to tell
what I just asked him is for a more definitive written estimate. And then
Oh, but is it leaking oil actively when you're driving? Can it be used or is it got to sit?
We're not wondering whether you're trying to fix it, never figure out where it should have been after it gets fixed, or
we don't know the definitive amount of what it's gonna cost. And you gave us a range and they gave us a number. So until we know what definitively it's gonna cost, we can't make that decision. So that's if they gave you a range, then it would have been nice for us to nail them down.
So then it's sitting at their location. So I think the thing is, if I don't want it sitting there for another month,
right.
We don't know what that.
Yeah. Like how big is the oil? Like what, a quarter size?
I guess I need something in writing.
I don't have enough information.
I mean, from 5,300 or whatever it was to 8,000, that's a pretty big hike. All of a sudden, be like.
Could we say like?
I think just have them bring it back.
Yeah.
I think just have them bring it back because.
Just keep checking the oil. If you need to use it, just check the oil before you go out.
Well, be smart.
Well, I'm being honest.
But then let it sit.
Yeah. Well,
how many sticks are in the? I mean, how much are you picking up really? That you
could...
Well, somehow we went, at least I know, 25 years from now.
Yeah.
And then another month we can manage. Until, you know, I mean, I think we need more information as to what we need.
We do.
What's more beneficial to tool cat versus side-by-side.
Well, none of that, but I mean, this is the first time I've heard of an oil leak since we've had the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I just have a bit.
Well, right now we don't have enough information what we're going to do, so that's where it's going to sit. So in regards to part-time help, do we want to run it again at 15 or what are we thinking for
I think so.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, like 15. Yeah.
15.
I mean, the grass should stop growing now.
How we have that at is like part-time seasonal. Do we just want to change it up and just say mowing? Because then maybe we'll get some.
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
Is that how it is, really, essentially, is mowing? Because then you might have
people. Right now, yeah.
I mean, the ideal employee would be someone.
It's retired.
I don't know if that exists, you know, that is willing to work 15, 20 hours when needed, and then maybe 5 hours here and there, you know.
Retired doesn't work because
you know, it just would be nice if for one Brandon has two-man jobs, you know, that we'd have someone available too.
Well, if you can put mower, like mainly in that kind of, I don't know how you say it, but odds and ends things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mowing and then helping out.
Mostly mowing and miscellaneous.
Helping out miscellaneous.
And that would be the other reason why doing it after hours
wouldn't
be the most viable thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do that and see where we get.
I mean, it's supposed to be hot, so it's not going to grow that much. You know, grass isn't going to grow like it was.
What's the question? It's like, what can you do for hours?
How much overtime?
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the price we have to pay right now. I mean, what choice do we have?
Yeah.
I mean, if the work has to, I mean, as long as you're willing, if you're willing to work it.
Yep. Sometimes it doesn't work out right.
4 to 8 hours?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I wouldn't say any more than that.
Right.
Yeah, because if we figure 20 times 15.
Right.
Divided by 37.50, which is what we're paying for.
Right.
Which is kind of crazy, but you know, we have to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I say when we do that, it comes out to about 8 hours of overtime a week. Then that way we're at least keeping.
Yeah.
You know, the balance of the budget.
Yeah, 48 hours.
Unless the big storm happens. Is there a situation of that where you can show back up? That's obviously emergency stuff.
Yeah, I think we'll take care. We'll tackle those when they do come. Hopefully, we don't have them, but we know it's Minnesota.
Yeah.
All right, let's move forward then. Go to 48 if need be, and hopefully, we can get somebody that will sign on for that part-time position.
Move on then to city council reports. Councilman Buckentine.
Nothing.
Councilman Poplar.
Yeah, if you walk your dogs in the park, bring a baggie with so when they do their duties that you clean it up, because there are a few people that have noticed when I walk my dog in the park that they don't clean their dog stuff up, and it's pretty annoying.
Yeah. Okay.
We maybe look into adding like those little bags in the park.
I was just thinking that too.
We could do that.
Because now that we have cameras, if someone decides to start, you know, taking them all or being silly with them, we have
into Norwood has them.
Yeah, I know Cologne has them.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Anything else?
That's it.
Councilwoman Weber. Councilmember Tracy.
I have nothing.
All right. We will get a newsletter out this week. So if there's anything anybody wants in it, let myself or staff know. I'll probably write up my portion tomorrow and get it to staff so we can get it out later in the week. Just a reminder too that the baseball club has their big tournament this weekend, so there will be some extra people coming through town. So if you do hear, probably, I don't know if there's any, I haven't heard anybody wanting to camp or anything like that. So,
okay.
Councilman Buckentine, hopefully we don't have anybody straying over into your yard. I mean, we do have Hanska coming to town, so we just, we may have some.
I lived there
people
when I was
there.
Little, sorry.
So. And then I do have a mayor's meeting on Friday that I'll ask some questions about that
video taping of different places that email you sent.
Yeah.
As well. So
keep me in the loop on that.
Other than that, anything else for the good of the council as I look for a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Councilman Poplar, second.
So moving seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Councilman Poplar, aye.
Councilman Buckington, aye.
Councilman Weber, aye.
Councilman Tracy, aye.
Mayor Lund, aye. All opposed. Hamburg City Council for June 14th, 2022 is adjourned at 20:30.